Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to hear all the conversation going on. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those worshiping via the live stream. Psalms 27:4 says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." This morning, seek God, pursue him. The Lord is with us. His Spirit is here among us. Praise and worship him. Honor God for all that he has done for us, and worship his holy name. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the mercy and love you pour out on us each day. We want to see you and be in your presence. As we join in worship together, fill us with a new infilling of your Holy Spirit and move among us and touch our hearts, Lord. Make clear your will for us, for our lives, and how we can use our giftings to bring honor and glory to you and further your kingdom and the work that we are called to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to worship with us in song as we just talk about the greatness of our God and declare that he's higher than what we are, and that we're asking him to invite us up into to enjoying that with him.
Water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you, into the darkness you shine. Stop us. If our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, then what could stand against?
Morning as a way of sharing our offerings of how God has blessed us financially. We have the My Coins count for the children, can drop their coins in the tube, and also the ushers can come forward to lift the offering for today.
With our lips let us sing one confession, with our hearts hold to one truth alone. For he has erased my transgressions, claimed us and called us his own, his very own. We're the people of God,
shall we pray? Father, we bring you the sacrifice of praise this morning and this offering which we are able to give back to you. The overflow of the offerings this month is dedicated for before and after school and Elevate Youth Ministries. We know the children and youth of our community are indeed the apple of your eye, for it is written, let the children come, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. May you anoint those who labor in these ministries with special grace, wisdom, energy, as they provide a safe place for the children of our community. I ask this in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Most children go through a stage when they constantly ask the question, why? God must have known about this because he told the Israelites that when they observe their festivals, they should tell their children why they are doing this. What is the purpose?
Exodus 13:8 says, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.
Purpose, the reason why we do something. So then, what is the purpose or meaning of this life?
In Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, I pursued wisdom, knowledge, understanding, madness and folly, pleasure, laughter, foolishness, and wine. I undertook great projects, acquired servants, herds, flocks, gold and silver, singers, and a harem. I denied myself nothing. I refused my heart no pleasure. But everything was meaningless. I hated life, and my heart began to despair.
Several months ago, Ken and I viewed a video series from Focus on the Family by Dr. Ryan Burkhart on mental health. Just as we all have physical health that varies from time to time, we also have mental health that can vary. We feel mentally healthy when we're able to
to live and take care of our basic needs.
Love, have meaningful, lasting relationships.
Labor, contribute something useful back to our community.
Learn, able to adapt to change and learn new things.
And laugh, it's good to have a sense of humor.
Dr. Burkhart showed recent statistics of mental health in America. They indicate a very sharp increase in substance abuse and suicide. He says the result of this results from a crisis of meaning or a lack of purpose in life.
So while physical health and mental health are very complex, it is clear that having a purpose outside of self can have a powerful positive impact on a person's health.
This world tells us that meaning is found in pleasure and indulging in desires for self. But Jesus said,
after the prodigal son squandered all he had on himself and became in need, then he came to his senses. He humbled himself before his father and said, make me your servant.
This world tells us that purpose is found in building a kingdom for self. But the Bible records,
after Nebuchadnezzar said, this is the great Babylon I have built by my power for my glory, he was driven away from people to live with wild animals. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, after 7 years, I raised my eyes toward heaven. My sanity was restored, and I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him.
This world says, meaning and purpose are found in serving self and in a life without God. But God says,
this actually leads to meaningless and despair. God says meaning is found in serving him and others, in making God's purpose become our purpose.
Because of God's purpose, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did this so we can have a new start, life with meaning and purpose in him.
Just invite you to stand if you're able to sing through these next songs.
Lord, you have taken my heart made out of stone. Create this heart.
Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Our purpose is determined moment by moment. Without any effort at all, we can drift from a godly purpose to a selfish purpose.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign. Father of creation, unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up a chosen generation that will flow through the land. All of creation is longing for your unveiling of power. Would you release your anointing? Oh God, let this be the hour. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Ruler of the nations, the world has yet to see the full release of your promise, the church in victory. Turn to us, Lord, and touch us. Make us strong in your might. Stand up and fight. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your kingdom come. Of your son.
your face. We pray for the needs of each person here, asking that we would be filled with your Spirit, asking that you would enable us to go forth from here filled with your purpose and able to share that with others, that the church, the people of God, would be faithful to you and serve you because of what you did for us.
Lord, refocus our vision to be able to see you and follow you as our guide. Turn our ears to hear you and follow your voice, to receive your word, to tune out ungodly voices that lead us astray.
Lord, help us to put a filter on our mouths only to speak your life, truth, love, and grace, to filter out words of complaining, criticism, doubt, and lies.
Teach us how to take the thoughts of our mind captive and make them obedient to you, Lord. For you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind.
And Lord, we offer our bodies as loving sacrifices. Strengthen us physically to carry out the tasks you have for us today. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. We surrender to you.
Lord, will you be our vision? Lord, will you be our guide? Be thy hope, be my light and the way. And I'll look not for riches, nor the praises on earth. Only you'll be the first in my heart. This is what I'm glad to do. It's time to live a life of love that pleases you. And I will give my all to you. Surrender everything I have and follow.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. It's time for our children's message. And as they're coming forward, I'd like to challenge you by asking you, do you believe the words that we just sung this morning? Do you believe what we were speaking? Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Did you have a good week? Did you enjoy school? We got some people did, some kind of not so much. But. So, does anyone know what a prophet is? Do you guys know what a prophet is? It's kind of one of those words that we use in church. It's in the Bible. But what's that?
Follower?
Well, yes, they're a follower of God. But a prophet is someone who would hear from God and then tell God's people that message that he heard. And there's many of them in the Old Testament. They would tell them what they should and shouldn't do. And if they're living a life that goes away from God, that they're supposed to turn around and come back to God. They might also tell them what's going to happen in the future. There, in the Bible, it tells us that there is a prophet who said that Jerusalem is going to be exiled into Babylon. And then in the future, that happened. Jerusalem was conquered, and they went into Babylon. It also tells us in the Bible that the Messiah is coming. This was prophesied by the prophets, and we know who that is. That was Jesus. Jesus came. So when someone tells about what is going to happen maybe in the future, maybe something that you're going through, that is a prophet, and what they tell us is called a prophecy. So how can we know if a prophet is from God or not? Because there are ones that are false. And I don't know. It's hard to know, right? Well, if what they say, it's by what they say, if it comes true, right? If they tell us something in the future is going to happen and it actually happens, then they're a true prophet and not a false prophet. So there's a lot of prophecies about Jesus in the Bible. Do you guys know how many there are? Can you guess how many there are? 10? A lot more than 10. Keep going. Higher. A lot higher.
100,000.
Not 1,000. It's more than 100.
Four?
Well, that's definitely four. There's roughly 300 prophecies about Jesus. So that's a lot, right? And then Jesus came, and so that proved all those things to be true. See, now, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we don't need to rely on only a prophet speaking to, like, the whole nation. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit can speak to us, and we can speak that to other people. And we can go and tell others in the church or outside of the church what is going on. So I'd like to pray for you, and then you guys can have a snack. And just remember that if someone tells you something that's going to happen in the future, you kind of have to wait and see. Is it true or not? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. I just pray that you will draw them to you, that you will speak to them, and that you'll pour a blessing upon them and watch over and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a snack right over there. You may have one and head back to your seats. Good morning again. I would like to just take a minute to pray for Nancy and Roy as Nancy's in the hospital recovering from her surgery. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Nancy's successful surgery and how you guided the hands of the doctor. I just pray that you bring healing to her body. As healing seems to be a little slow right now, I pray that you would increase that and that her recovery would be full and quick. Lord, I just pray that you remove any discouragement that would be there. Give Roy strength and energy as well, and the entire family. I just pray that you pour out your peace on them as they walk alongside of Nancy. I just pray again your comfort and peace on them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Pastor Brian for his message last Sunday, showing us what the church is. It is the people and not the building. And giving us three tests that we can use to see what our spiritual gifts are. And we as a church, we need to learn to know and trust each other and depend on each other using our gifts together. So this morning, we're going to be looking at some supernatural gifts. Every supernatural gift is empowered by God through the Holy Spirit. The supernatural gifts empowerment is an outward, visible sign that people can see. These gifts have strong feelings that are attached to them. Some people feel that these gifts are no longer alive in the church and they're not functioning in the body anymore. Some people feel that these gifts have to be evident or your church is not alive or spirit-filled. There are varying opinions on both sides. You have extremes on one side or the other, just like these two weather extremes that we see here. Like most opinions, there are strong arguments to go along with each side. So we're going to look at what God's Word says. We're going to look at prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These gifts can seem kind of strange, and describing them can be difficult. They can be kind of weird. And so as we look into them, we're going to look into God's Word. We're going to look at some different sides to these arguments. Pastor Brian had talked about being dependent on each other, using our gifts, and dependent on God last Sunday. And these gifts are examples of that truth. They're woven together depending on other gifts. Prophecy depends on the gift of discernment and tongues. Prophecy is usually straightforward, yet sometimes it does come through tongues. Tongues is dependent on interpretation and discernment. We're going to cover discernment on a different Sunday, but they're woven together and necessary. We have multiple gifts working at the same time. This brings God's Word to the church and confirmation that it is from God and the Holy Spirit when we have these gifts working together at the same time. Because if you have one without the other, it might not be from God. So we're going to be looking at the chapter of 14 in 1 Corinthians this morning. This is going to be our main section of study. We'll jump around to a couple other verses, but this is where we're going to mainly look. We're going to unpack this chapter and dig into it and look at all three of these gifts in this chapter, giving us some directions, some rules for using these gifts in the church and in our lives. And I would encourage you to go back and reread this chapter in the coming week. Ask God to reveal to you on a deeper level what these verses say, because there's a lot in here to cover. So we're going to look at verses 1 to 6 this morning. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 6. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For the person who speaks in another tongue is not speaking to people but to God. Since no one understands him, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in other tongues, but even more that you prophesied. The person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be built up. So now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in other tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you with a revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church to help them with a bunch of problems that they're having throughout 1 Corinthians. Issues with greed, issues with marriage, adultery, lawsuits, how they're dressing, and order in their worship services. Paul is taking the time to give clarity to all these issues that they're facing, and it gives us some clarity that we can apply to our lives. One chapter back in 13, that's the love chapter, Paul tells the church to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So it is good to desire the gifts that God has for us. It is a good thing. As long as our heart is motivated in serving and pleasing and honoring God and not ourselves, that would be a motive that is not right. We have to have a humbleness in our heart when we pursue these gifts. I want this gift so I can serve God and have a deeper relationship with Him and a deeper understanding. In chapter 14, Paul puts the emphasis on prophecy. And why does he do that? Why does he say prophecy is more important. Prophecy is the heart and will of God given to the church through the Holy Spirit. This can be in the form of one individual going to another and speaking into their lives in a situation that they're facing, or it can be for the entire body of the church. It can be something that is happening right now, a situation that is being faced right at this moment, or it can be a future event. Matthew 24:2, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and his disciples point out how beautiful the temple is and how amazing the whole building and complex is. Then Jesus says, "Do you see all these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left on another that will not be thrown down." And we can look back and we can see that this came true in 70 AD. The temple was torched and burned. And as it burnt, the gold melted and it ran down in between the blocks, and they threw apart the stone blocks to get to that goal, fulfilling the prophecy that Jesus gave. And that was a distant future event. In 2 Kings, Samaria is under siege from Aram. Elisha gives this prophecy about the situation that they faced. In chapter 7, verse 1, Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord." This is what the Lord says. "About this time tomorrow at Samaria's gate, 6 quarts of fine flour will sell for half an ounce of silver, and 12 quarts of barley will sell for half an ounce of silver." It happened as he prophesied it would for that situation that they faced right then and there. This gift is to build up the body of Christ by encouragement, by strength, direction, and yes, sometimes rebuke. The message should be presented clearly so that it can be understood by the church. It's usually in a known language so that it can be heard, received, and understood and applied to our lives. We should all desire the gift of prophecy, because it builds up the body of Christ. And prophecy is a greater gift because it does that. It encourages the church and strengthens the church. And in the same verses 1 to 6, what can we learn about tongues? Paul also gives clarity on what tongues are. Tongues have a few parts to them. It can be a known language that the speaker does not know. For example, if I would be empowered to speak Spanish or Chinese or some other known language that I do not know. It can be an angelic language between the speaker and God. Most of the times we see this in the form of a private prayer language. The Holy Spirit is using the sounds that you are making to worship God. Your mind doesn't know what you're praying unless, of course, the Holy Spirit gives you the empowerment of interpretation so that you can understand what you're saying. And then there's the public angelic language to be interpreted. It's between the Holy Spirit and the speaker, but there needs to be in the interpretation so that everyone else can understand what they're saying. 1 Corinthians 13 1, it says, "If I speak in angelic tongues but do not have love," paraphrasing, "it's just noise." So that confirms to us that there is an angelic language, that it's not just something that scholars have made up. Acts 2, 4 to 8, and we'll be coming back to 1 Corinthians, so you can mark your place there, but Acts chapter 2, 4 to 8. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astonished and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language?" They were filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. You have the more Pentecostal view, and then you have the conservative view on the other side, and then you have anything in between there. And this is where the waters get kind of muddy. What is correct? Because you have some scholars saying that they were speaking an angelic tongue in syllables and utterances, and the miracle was in the people hearing their own language, and that's why some people thought that they were drunk because they were speaking gibberish and not just a language that they didn't know. Then you have the other side saying they were speaking known languages and the people were hearing them. They just were languages that the apostles didn't know. These kind of controversies make this gift hard to understand. The gift of tongues, as Paul says, is to build up the individual believer. The Holy Spirit speaking through your spirit, through the syllables that you're uttering to God. And in public, there needs to be an interpretation with it, because it doesn't build anyone up if there's no interpretation. The gift of interpretation is a gift of taking what is unknown and making it known. And it's different than we see around the world where someone interprets a language, but that can be part of it. The Holy Spirit can allow you to interpret a language. I've heard different people sharing in other countries where they were using an interpreter and they would speak something and they'd be waiting for the interpreter to speak, and the interpreter's like, "You said it clearly, I don't need to interpret it." And they spoke a different language that they didn't know, but it was to the audience that they were speaking. If you have ever watched leaders around the world gather in a meeting, most of them have an earpiece in. They're receiving the translation from the speaker, from an interpreter. That's what the gift of interpretation does. It takes something that is from God and interprets it so that we can understand it. And yet it can also be human language or angelic language. It can be either. And this brings up a lot of questions for tongues and prophecy alike. Is it real? How do we know it's real? And is it from God? Those questions plague these gifts. How do we know? In 1 Kings 22, you have Jehoshaphat and Ahab. They make a treaty, and Ahab wants to go to war, and Jehoshaphat wants to seek the Lord's will. So they ask the prophets for what they believe is going to happen. And almost 400 of them agree and say, "Go and attack," and they do different things. They make bullhorns, and they're going to gore and attack the opponent and win out. But then Jehoshaphat asks, "Is there any prophets of the Lord?" They go get Micaiah, and he is the true prophet, because what he said would happen actually happened. They lost the battle. The army was scattered. Prophecy has a wait and see part built into it, because we have to wait for the answer. Did it come true or didn't it? Is this from God or isn't it? Yet when you have the gift of tongues, you have to use the gift of interpretation and discernment as well. And discernment applies to prophecy as well. Because we have to look at God's word. Does the prophecy go against God's word? Does the interpretation of the tongue go against God's word? Because if it does, then it's not from God. It is false. Because God will not contradict himself. In 1 Corinthians 14, 7 to 12, you can read over that yourselves, I'm not going to, but Paul talks about musical instruments making sounds, and if the notes and rhythms are not clear, it's not useful. You don't know what the song is that they're playing. And then if everybody in a congregation is speaking in tongues, it's chaotic and no one understands what is going on. Because there is no interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 to 19. Therefore, the person who speaks in another tongue should pray that he can interpret. For if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing and praise with the Spirit, and I will also sing praise with my understanding. Otherwise, if you praise with the Spirit, how will the outsider say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? For you may very well be giving thanks, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in other tongues more than all of you, yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding in order to teach others, also than 10,000 words in another tongue. Paul is affirming that tongues is real. It is useful, but in the public setting, there must be interpretation to go with it, or it does not bear fruit. Some churches put such a strong emphasis on tongues that everyone has to speak in tongues, and it kind of becomes a show. But they miss out on interpretation. That's what brings meaning and understanding to it, the interpretation of those sounds and utterances. And that interpretation is what builds up the body of Christ. And outsiders can understand it and hear it and be built up at the same time. Without that, there is no point in speaking it in public. The point of spiritual gifts is to build up and strengthen the body of Christ. In verses 22 to 25 in 1 Corinthians 14. Speaking in other tongues then is intended as a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church assembles together, and all are speaking in other tongues, and people who are outsiders or unbelievers come, will they not say, you are out of your minds? But if all the prophesying and some unbelievers or outsiders come in, and he is convicted by all and is called to account by all, the secret of his heart will be revealed. And as a result, he will fall face down and worship God, proclaiming God. God is really among you. Paul shows us two different focuses of tongues and prophecy. Because we have faith in God, we see tongues as a sign and a move from God, working in us and praising him. But to anyone who does not have faith in God, prophecy is the part that is more important. because it calls them to account. It reveals the things of their heart, and it brings them to a place of repentance. Both of these gifts have part in the body of Christ. I'm going to read down to 33. So 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 33. What then, brothers and sisters, whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, another tongue, or an interpretation. Everything is to be done for building up. If anyone speaks in another tongue, there are to be only two or at the most three, each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no interpreter, the person is to keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. That's that private prayer language. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate. That's the gift of discernment. But if something has been revealed to another person sitting there, the first prophet should be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophet's spirits are subject to the prophets, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, Paul's giving us guidelines as the body of Christ to follow when prophecy and tongues are part of a worship service. God is a God of order, not disorder. He is a God of peace. Prophets should take turns, and what they say should be evaluated. If they say something that goes against God's word, we need to know it. We need to understand it and stand up against it. The gift of discernment needs to be a part of everything that we do. It should be at work, seeking God's leading and guidance when one of these supernatural gifts is taking place. It says that these gifts are subject to our spirits. They're subject to us. If someone just blurts out something in random and says, "Oh, I couldn't control it," that's not true. That's not what God's word says. It might feel like it can't be controlled, because when God moves powerfully in you, you just want to let it out and you want to praise God, which is good. But God's word says that it can be controlled by our spirit. And if we're asked to be quiet, then we need to obey and be quiet. If a tongue is shared, there has to be an interpretation. Or the one that's speaking needs to sit down and be quiet, because that's what God's word says. It's not that we're putting down this gift, but there needs to be interpretation to it, because God is a God of order, and the church of Corinthians was having a lot of problems with disorder. Verses 37 to 40. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should recognize that what I write to you is the Lord's command. If anyone ignores this, he will be ignored. So then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in other tongues, but everything is to be done decently and in order. Paul is telling us that these instructions are from God. They're not from him. And that we need to follow what God is telling us to do. We are told to be eager to prophesy. And that we're not supposed to forbid the speaking in tongues. It's a spiritual gift that God gives. We should not forbid it. But it needs to be done in a way that builds up the body of Christ. We need to follow the directions that God gives us in His Word. So if you have the gift of prophecy, and God is giving you a message for the church, come and see me or whoever's in charge and share your message at an appropriate time. Don't just stand up in the middle of the sermon and yell out. Because there needs to be discernment that goes with that. Should this message be shared now? Or is this something that we need to share at a later time? And it's the same for prophecy and tongues. There's an order. There's a way we should handle this. We need to ask for God's discernment and ask for someone to interpret. When someone says, I have a message for the church and it's going to be in tongues, well then, we need someone to interpret that. We are told to desire these gifts so that we can build up the body of Christ. So how do we use these gifts? Well, prophecy, God will give you a word for His church in your spirit. He'll give you a desire that you need to share this message for His church, to strengthen His church, to bring honor and glory to God. He's going to give you those words in your spirit. And it could be for an individual. Or it could be for the entire church. It might be something for a situation someone is facing. Or it might be the future. The gift of tongues. For those who have this gift, you usually see it come out in a prayer language. It usually starts there. So go into a quiet place and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you desire this gift, go into a quiet place and just ask God to give you that gift. And then speak out the syllables and utterances that you feel in your spirit. Maybe you'll see it visually, like closed captioning. You just see some words as you're praying, and speak those out loud. Don't just say them in your mind. You got to speak it out loud. Someone with the gift of tongues, maybe they have the desire to share in the church service. We need to follow Paul's directions and determine if someone has an interpretation for it. Because if not, it does not benefit anyone. For the gift of interpretation, listen to people speaking. Is God telling you to share something with them? Are they speaking in a different language and all of a sudden you can understand them? Or if you're in a service and someone is speaking in tongues and these words keep coming to your mind, that's what they're speaking, that's what they're saying. That's the gift of interpretation. We need these gifts in the church to build up the body of Christ fully. Many churches put an overemphasis on tongues, and prophecy gets diminished. Paul says, desire prophecy over tongues. Both are good for the body of Christ, but desire the one over the other. So I'm going to pray in a moment, and as I pray, if you desire the gift of prophecy, tongues, or interpretation, if God is stirring your heart, I would invite you to stand up and ask God for them. So as I pray, you can stand and ask God to give you the gift that you desire, because God says that we should desire these gifts for His honor and His glory. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You are the giver of all gifts. We're asking You to stir our hearts this morning. We desire every gift to be evident in Your church. Lord, we desire prophecy and tongues and interpretation so that your church may be built up and strengthened. Lord, we desire you to pour out your Spirit on us, not just this morning, but each morning. Give your body the gift of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation so that we can honor and glorify you. Empower your church to use every gift that you have given. Take away our doubts, the doubts that keep us from stepping out in faith, the doubts that keep us from using our gifts, the doubts that keep us from standing up and going to the pastor and saying, I have a prophecy for the church. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us, strengthen us, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would just give what is asked for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in faith, believing that you received what you asked for. Don't doubt. Step out and use what God has asked, what you have asked God for. May God bless you. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
While they're coming up here, I just want to point out the connect cards that are in your benches in front of you. There's a note in the bulletin about writing down something about your spiritual gift that you've learned, discovered, how you use it, and those can be dropped in the boxes at the front or the rear of the church. On May 10, I think that's a Sunday, yes, May 10, we're going to have a service, life celebration, where we share those testimonies and things that are going on in our church life related to spiritual gifts.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. By depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name,
Amen. I have a couple quick announcements for you. There are slips of paper for the grocery items that the before and after school program needs. They can be found in either foyer the first Sunday of each month. You can get a slip of paper and bring the item back. Mark it with BNA on it. If it's a cold item, you can put it down in the room across from the kitchen. In the refrigerator there, or freezer, just please mark it. I'd just like to thank you for your continued support of the BNA and all the work that goes on there and all the families that are touched. And I'd like you to write your spiritual gifts on a Connect card, and then you can put them in the boxes as well. Lenten lunches are going to be starting soon here in a couple weeks. There's going to be information in your bulletin about that shortly. So will you stand for the parting benediction? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. You are dismissed.